In last weekend's gospel, Jesus spoke about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Today we heard that many of his disciples were disgusted with this idea of eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And after all, cannibalism is quite disgusting, so that's understandable that they would have that reaction. So they murmured about it and tried to figure out what he meant. Surely he couldn't mean really eating his flesh and drinking his blood, could he? Some might think that Jesus meant that everything that he had just said throughout John 6 about eating his flesh was figurative. But if this were true, we would expect that his disciples who were listening would stick around, that they would stay with him. Instead, many of them left and returned to their former way of life. So they must have understood him to really mean eat his flesh and drink his blood. It was just too much for those disciples to take. Interestingly, Jesus lets them go. Again, if he meant only a sign or symbol, then wouldn't he have called them back and said, no, you guys misunderstand me? But he didn't do that. He would rather have them leave with the right understanding of eating his real flesh and drinking his real blood than to have them stay and have it wrong, that he thought, and have them think that he meant that figuratively. And so it seems that this passage, as well as others, as well as the church fathers, the constant tradition of the church, and the teaching office of the church, uphold that Jesus Christ is really and truly present in the Eucharist. I would have loved to have been able to continue on this topic of the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, but there is a more pressing aspect of our gospel that I would like to address. It seems that the disciples who left Jesus were scandalized by his teaching, which raises the question, what do we mean by scandal? The common use of the word would have a definition of something like an action or an event that was morally or legally wrong and causes the public to have an outrage. Now, if we apply this definition to our gospel passage and Jesus' teaching, then it would seem like he could be scandalous to them. But the church has a different teaching on the meaning of the word scandal. And in the Catechism, it says, scandal is an attitude or behavior which leads another to do evil. The person who gives scandal becomes his neighbor's tempter. So if we apply this second definition of scandal to our gospel passage, then we would see that Jesus is not scandalous, because Jesus is God, and God does not lead us into sin. If we were to examine the recent news about the grand jury report in Pennsylvania and Archbishop McCarrick, then it would seem that both definitions of scandal would apply. Such behavior is clearly wrong, and it causes a public outcry. It would also not be surprising if these allegations have weakened or perhaps destroyed the faith of many people, such that they would abandon it. But what else does the Catechism say about scandal? Scandal is grave when given by those who by nature or office are obliged to teach and educate others. Jesus reproaches the scribes and Pharisees on this account. He likens them to wolves in sheep's clothing. This applies to some of the clergy, and it's the whole church that experiences the effects of their sins. So how then do we respond to this? Well, if we look at our gospel passage, what do we see as the response to Jesus' teaching? Some disciples left, but others stayed. Some of us might feel like Jesus is asking us the question, do you also want to leave? In a conversation I had with a parishioner, I was told that she actually thought about that possibility of leaving. But she concluded that she could not leave the church. And when she told me that, it made me think of what Peter said in our gospel passage today. Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God. The parishioner was able to recognize the difference between the Catholic Church and the sinners within the church. However, the anger, the betrayal, the frustration, the sadness, and the many other emotions that she experienced were real. To help the people in the Archdiocese of St. Louis, Archbishop Carlson not only made the statement reiterating our policies and procedures to protect the vulnerable, but he has also invited the Attorney General to investigate the Archdiocese. He is confident that this act of transparency will help in the healing process of all those entrusted to his care. On a more personal note, I will do what I can to help in this healing process. So please feel free to come talk to me about this or any other issue, or talk to any of the other of our priests. I also want you to know that my faith in God and in His Church is not shaken by the sins of these men, though my trust in them certainly is. My faith in God isn't. I know that the Catholic Church has the fullness of the truth. I know that this is where God wants me to be. The Catholic Church has more to offer than any other. And through the sacraments, we have the certainty of God's grace being given to us. We also in the Catholic Church have the Eucharist, who really and truly is Jesus Christ, the Holy One of God. The Catholic Church is the Bride of Christ, as we heard in our second reading. And since Christ promised to stay with his church, despite the sinners within it, so will I. And I hope that you can say the same. In fact, I hope that despite the scandal, you would continue to bear witness to the truth by actually inviting others to consider joining the Catholic Church. Yes, some of our members and leaders are terrible sinners, but we are not Catholic because of them. Rather, we are Catholic because this is the church that Jesus Christ founded. Because of all the gifts that we have in the sacraments. Because of Christ's real presence in the Eucharist. And because of many other reasons. Remaining in the church, despite the actions of the sinners within it, in a way gives more credibility to the truths of the faith. So please consider asking people to join our RCIA program so that they can learn more about these truths that keep so many of us staying Catholic. Please instruct those you invite to RCIA to contact Father Molini. Again, I would have preferred to talk about the real presence of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist and how this mystery can be made a little bit less mysterious, but I thought it more urgent and important to speak about scandal. Yet, in a way, I have talked about the real presence throughout the homily. If it was not for the real presence of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist and in his church, if we leave because of the sins of others, then we're saying it's all about their presence, and it isn't. However, if you'd like to know more about the real presence of Christ, which I wasn't able to get to in my homily, you can read more about it in the article that I have in the bulletin this week as well as next week. But for now, let us prepare ourselves to meet Jesus Christ, who is truly present in the most holy Eucharist.